Get Pucked.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Get Pucked podcast. Dave, Matt, and Vito here with you. And I'll bang it out of the way right away this time. If you haven't already, please consider liking and subscribing. I know I say that to the end. I've got asked to make this little note in the beginning, so here it is. Thank you so much for those that have already done so. And if you haven't, consider doing it. We would really appreciate it. With that little message out the way, gentlemen, let's talk about some hockey. There's been some really good hockey, I have to say. In the past few games, we'll go all the way back to the Detroit game because I don't think we've talked since then. You've had Detroit, you've had Boston, Vancouver, and realistically, these have been enjoyable hockey games. There's been some wins in there, which has been really nice to see. There's been some fantastic overtime Cole Caulfield legend status growing for those that have been watching. It's been a lot of fun. But before getting into really any of the game talk, I want to talk about somebody in particular, somebody who that has kind of been in the news now for some time, not for the best of reasons, but our buddy Josh Anderson.
Mm.
So I'll take the question that's been floated out there or the statement that many people are making. And I'll start with that. You know, will he ever score again is sort of the thing in the joke that's out there. I think obviously, that's the answer is yes to that. It's just a matter of when. But really, my question to you boys is, what would you do to kind of kickstart him? Like, what is it going to take? I think the effort's there. I think that he's playing his game. He just has negative finish at this point. So what would you do if you were in a position to do something to help Anderson?
Get him off the first line and give him put him more in the third line. Yeah. Favorable matchups there, not playing against the tougher opponents, just to build his confidence. Not saying that he can't handle being at the very least a second line winger. It's just more that I think that him being on the first line is at times is not doing him any favors. So the favor you can give him and do for him is put him on the third line. Don't put him on the first power play either. I think it's time. That hasn't worked. That experiment is over. Put him on the second power play because I still think he can, you know, drive the net and cause a bit of havoc and do what he has to do there to create some space for his line mates. But that's what I think needs to happen with Josh Anderson.
Yeah, I don't know what to do with Josh Anderson. I'm not going to lie to you. I mean, I've never been a big Josh Anderson fan. I don't like his inconsistency. I know that a lot of people, I think because he's in Montreal – And it's a team that was lacking a big power forward for a long time. I think people, you know, really, really embraced Josh Anderson for more than what he was. I don't think he's a first line player. He definitely needs, I agree with Vito, definitely needs to be moved off that line and try to fit him anywhere really that's going to work. Because at this point, it's just, yeah, it's not looking good. It's not looking good for Josh Anderson. And you know, I never thought he fit in the vision of the Canadians long term. You know, I think that he was a Mark Bergevin guy, and I don't see him fitting going forward with this team. But now his stock is going so low that, like, how are you going to move him anyway? It's just, it sucks. It's a bad position to be in if you're Marty St. Louis and the Canadians.
The thing with him, it's not that he's not getting chances. He's getting the chances. He's either missing the net or he's shooting right at the goalie. Like, he is snake bitten to a certain extent. He's had chances to score goals and all that, and it's just not happening. So it's not one of those situations where you're looking like at Joel Armia, where he shows up one game and he looks like the next coming of Jesus, and then after that, you know, the next game after that or three games later, you don't see anything from him. Josh Anderson's still trying things. He's still trying to score goals off the rush, and you know. The only thing I see less of him doing is cutting to the net. And the one time he did cut to the net, it led to a goal, and it led to Gouley's overtime goal against Boston.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing about Anderson that's a big takeaway from his game that even St. Louis mentioned the other day was I think he's drawn like 14 penalties already this season. So, like, he's doing the things he needs to do. But I really like what you said, Vito. I think the key way to phrase it is get him off that first for more favorable matchups. Perhaps because he's playing against top lines, he's having to react a little bit quicker than he would want to. And when you're in your own head, you kind of hold your stick a little hard, you kind of push too hard, And that's kind of like he's overcompensating because the effort is there. I think anybody who's saying and looking at Anderson and suggesting that, you know, he's just coasting, I don't think you're watching the games. I think he's very engaged. He's really drawing penalties, which is a tremendous benefit to the team. It's really the finish. And normally speaking, especially for streaky players, which he has been proven to be, the moment he pots one, it's like a floodgate's going to open, and then all of a sudden you're going to see it's like suddenly after 20 games when he had zero goals, he'll have six goals. And then it's like the average doesn't look so bad. Now, that's not ideal because he'll probably get like two goals in one game, maybe a hat trick in the next game or whatever. Like, it's nice, but it doesn't help for sustainability, which is what you want. But realistically, I like that. I think move him down for sure. Drop him to the third even. Get him a little bit more favorable matchups. Let him get out there. Let him realize that you can go full offense. Go for it. I mean, like, just pair him a little bit different, but of course, messing with the third line, but I'll get to that in a second. With you'd have to break up that really, really surprisingly good line of Monahan, Pearson, and Gallagher. But I digress. I think he definitely needs to get off that first, and he definitely needs to get off that first line power play.
That's the other thing, too, about Anderson is that he's built for the playoffs, and Montreal is not going to be in the playoffs. I don't think so, anyways, for a couple of years. And even if they are going to make the playoffs, like, how far are they really going to go, right? So when they acquired Josh Anderson, to Dave's point, it was, you know, to get that power forward. Montreal's been missing a power forward for so long. But it was also because the belief was that they were, you know, as long as they had Carey Price, as long as they had Shea Weber, as long as they had those players, they were a playoff team. And once they get into the playoffs, anything could happen. And if you looked at Josh Anderson during the playoff runs, he did exactly what you needed him and wanted to do. Go in the corners, retrieve the puck, create space, draw penalties, you know, cut to the net. He does those things during playoff time where you need it the most. But during an 82-game season, you don't see it every game. You see it every once in a while. And that goes to the inconsistencies that Dave was talking about and definitely doesn't like. So, I mean, there are for teams out there that are still wondering what Josh Anderson could bring, and you're a playoff team, just go back and watch the last couple of playoff runs the Habs have gone on, and that's the guy you're going to get during the playoffs. But it's to get there.
Yeah, the league is a show me now league, though, like Dave has said a million times, right? Like, they're going to look at what he's doing now. It's, you know, 15 games in the season.
I agree and disagree, because how many players have been traded because of, you know, oh, we're going to take another gamble, take another flyer on this player because of what he did, and it's maybe just a, you know, bad situation for him on that team.
Yeah, did those players all have 4 years and $5.5 million contracts?
back to Dave's point that he says we bring this up at least you know, a couple times a year, NHL GMs are dumb, and they're gonna, you know, they look at a big body guy who's drawing penalties, and they could, you know, maybe Montreal, the difference between last time around when you heard the trade rumors was, you know, we were talking about Montreal would get a king's ransom for Anderson. Maybe they might have to retain a bit of the salary. I don't think so either, but I'm just saying that, you know, again, to Dave's point, Josh Anderson is not on the right side of in terms of age for where Montreal is right now and where they're going to be in a couple of years from now. He's 29 years old. Montreal, I don't see them in the playoffs for another 2 years, or at least being competitive in the playoffs for another 2 years. So that's going to bring him to, what, 31, 32 years old? You got to find a way to move him, in my opinion.
So the question was, what would you do to get him started? And you're basically finishing him. I trade him.
Get him started as best as you can. And as soon as you get that hot streak from him, like you said before, consider moving him. And I never wanted to move him. I've always liked Josh Anderson.
I think Ken Hughes wanted to move him. I think last year, if you recall, the only person who was mentioning people calling him about Josh Anderson was Ken Hughes. There was no insider really talking about it. Was only Ken Hughes talking nonstop about how teams were weighing in and trying to get Josh Anderson. So I think Ken Hughes has been trying to move Josh Anderson. Like me, he doesn't see as a fit on the future of this club. I just don't know if there's that many buyers at what he's offering.
I will say this, Josh Anderson aside, Montreal's officially in the top 10 on the power play standings in the NHL. When was the last time we saw that?
Talk to me again.
Exactly. We talk a lot about consistency when it comes to this team, okay? And sustainability.
Yeah. Hey, we haven't seen this, even at this stage of the season, in years.
Yeah, it's a bright spot. We're not going to say no, but the irony, of course, is since the power play took off, their 5-on-5 dropped dramatically. So that, it's just one of those weird things that's happening.
Can't win them all.
Listen, speaking of can't winning them all, but maybe winning one thing, something that's been out there that was... I should really write these down where I read it for the first time. So I apologize for not having the direct source, but it was brought up. It might be on 32, the 32 topics thing. Monty is looking to potentially, well, he's obviously wanting to get signed. The Habs are looking to sign Monty, looking for long-term is what apparently the rumor is.
It came from Elliot Friedman over the weekend.
Elliot Friedman. Yeah. Okay. So that was it. Exactly. So if that's true, and I would suspect that it is, that would likely mean that we could deduce that it's Allen that they're going to look to move, because I think they want to keep Primo. Primo's the younger guy. Allen clearly doesn't have the future here with the team. So it's a fairly simple deduction to come to the conclusion that it's Allen that you're going to move. So before we get into that again, let's address the first part. If you had the responsibility of giving out the contract to Monty, what is the highest AAV and what is the longest you go for him? Dave?
Oh, it's so tough, man. I don't even know if I would sign him. I'm not going to lie to you.
Let's say you had to. Okay, let's put aside the fact that maybe you wouldn't. What would you, and maybe keeping that in mind, of course, obviously I'm thinking nothing is going to be like a 6-7 year deal with you then. So no. What are we doing?
3 years max. But like,
fair, of course.
I don't even know if Montabo would take this. Like, I don't know. To me, I'd wait. I'd wait and see what, like, it couldn't get. You know, like, it's not as if he's going to light the world on fire and rack up win after win after win after win. So I would wait this out as long as possible if I'm the Canadians. And you know, there's not much leverage there to be get from Sam Montembeau's side, in my opinion. So I don't know, 3 years at $3 million max. Like, I don't know. I just don't.
We're just throwing numbers out here. But I think the signing is more to do with if and when they do sign him, that's going to be very soon thereafter the end of the three goalie situation here. And they're going to move the third one. I think they want one signed for longer term because it's Allen that currently is signed for a little bit longer. Monty isn't.
That's a strange tactic to do because like you have to move one, like they can't go three goalies. And if you're saying if they sign Montembeau, then they show their hand to the whole entire NHL. They're clearly in a position to move Jake Allen, right? Or can, like it shows their hand a little bit in terms of desperation when it comes to making a trade up for one of those three guys.
I think so. Desperation, really?
Not desperation. But what are they going to carry three goaltenders all year?
Like, they're on the record saying they don't want to, but exactly. I think it's very obvious that Allen is the choice.
They won't lose one of those goaltenders for nothing. So because they got the cap space, if they have to, they'll hold on to all three. It's not ideal, but they'll do it.
Well, that's what I mean, but it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. It's more ridiculous from the standpoint that they're not playing. Kane Primo needs to be if he's going to be your goaltender, if you want to give him a shot, he needs to play consistently. He needs to play. He needs to go somewhere and play. He can't just sit on the bench and play every 2 weeks or every 3 weeks. It doesn't make any sense. That's not how you develop a goaltender, especially a goaltender that you drafted in the 7th round that doesn't have a pedigree. You know what I mean? Like, it's just bonkers to me that this is the decision that they're the route that they're going to protect. You're going to look back in 5 years and you're going to be like, these are the guys you're trying to protect. You don't want to lose Jake Allen or Sam Montembeau for free. Like, in my opinion, it's not as if you have three studs there and you're like, I don't want to lose one for free.
I don't think they're looking at them at studs, but I think certainly to Vito's point, I don't think they want to lose them for nothing. I don't think they're going to see a guy go on waivers though. Like, it's just not going to happen.
You're going to hurt Kane Primo's development because you don't want to lose him for free.
Well, I don't disagree. You want him to play.
So what are you going to do next year when you know, it's not as if Kane Primo is like a wow prospect that come in here and every time he shows up in Montreal, he plays an amazing game. He's had a good run in Laval. He had a good run, playoff run in Laval. But then other than that, he's been okay. And even I would say less than average every time he's put into the net in not favorable positions, granted, but he hasn't proven anything. So he needs to be developed. He's not one of these guys that's just going to be like, okay, game 80, 80, 81, We've traded, or game 61, we've traded Montembeault, Caden Primo now run for 20 games. Like, that's so unfair to him, and it's not doing him any favors.
So how do you develop him now, though, then? Because if you want to send him down to play all the games in Laval, he's got to go through waivers, which apparently they're convinced he won't, which means now you have to play him with the big club, and then what? Yeah. You're going to sit Allen indefinitely?
You make
the well, you know what? Take the chance. Take the chance, not on Primo. Sorry, Dave, to cut you off, but if you're worried about, you know, teams are up against the cap, wave Allen.
They won't wave Allen. No,
they won't, but he's 3.8 million for another few years.
But that's wave why him. He's the target, and that's why they want to trade
takes,
him.
If somebody takes him, great.
They're if not going to do that. Him, that's never going to happen.
I know they're never going to happen.
They're never, ever going to wave Allen.
Allen is not an AHL goalie. He is an NHL goalie.
Without question. And you have goalies that are going down with injuries. You have teams that are in the position to make runs. You have teams out there, obvious teams, not necessarily saying that Jake Allen's going to be the one that saves them from the downward spiral that they're in, but he's an upgrade on most of the other people that they have there.
Yes, but then you have to, sorry, Vito. Go.
I think that the issue with even moving Allen is teams are going to ask Montreal and maybe even demand it that they retain salary because he's got two more after this year. So if you're retaining salary, even if they retain 500K per year for him, even and you sign Monty at 300, it's really costing you 3.5 million for Monty. Think about that.
If you have to retain on Allen, then you increase the ask.
Well, yeah, obviously, but
like it's obvious teams are not going to pay, right? It's obvious, like they would have paid it already. Tampa Bay is able to go. I don't think they really force into a move. And Edmonton, it's clear that if anyone needed a goaltender, it was them, and it's clear that it didn't happen because they're not willing to pay what the Montreal Canadiens want.
And I think even with Tampa Bay, though.
But the window is closing for Edmonton to make it, right? They have to win already at a 700 clip. So if you wait 10 more games, there's no point in trading for Jake Allen anymore. It's either it's going to work out with these guys or it's not. At this point, I don't think that a move for a goaltender is in the books or in the works for them because there's just no point. It's either you trade now for a goaltender and you try to fix it. You can't afford to be like, okay, let's spend the next 10 games, and now you're going to have to win at a 750 clip. It doesn't make any sense.
The only team that I could see, and to Dave's point about Edmonton, I think they got to win like 67% of their remaining games.
That's what I mean. It's ridiculous.
Just to make it, right? Yeah. The only team I could see maybe making a bit of a push for Allen, and again, it depends for what. It's probably going to be LA because how long can you ride Cam Talbot before he starts to drain out? The guy's like 38, 37, or whatever he is now. Maybe them. Tampa Bay, I think there was a chance for somebody like Allen or even whoever was available at the time to go to Tampa. It would have all depended how it was going to work with Johansson, and Johansson has been playing very well. So they were getting the wins anyway, and Vasilevsky's coming back soon. Like, he's already at practice. You see him, you know, you see him there. So I think the door closed with Tampa Bay in terms of a goaltender. They may still seek a backup goalie to back up Vasilevsky just for depth and, you know, in case another injury happens, at least it's somebody that's a bit more proven and a bit more reliable than Johansson. But, they're not going to lose any one of those goalies for free. They're going to try to do something there. And Monty, in terms of what I would give him, it has to be a little under three for me. You know, even if he wants long term, I wouldn't go long term with him. 3 years is where I say is my max. I could see them doing four to get the cap down a little bit, but I don't want to go four with Monty. I know that if they do that, then the strategy is basically he becomes the veteran for basically Primo and Fowler down the road and whoever else comes around. But he is only 27 years old. Monty's there's still some good hockey. I am not a huge fan of Monty's game and his inconsistencies either. I don't want to commit too much money to him. So I'd say 2.8 3 years.
Hey, that's there you go. I honestly didn't expect that from you, Vito. Well done.
A sensible answer from Vito. While sensible, I will say that from my standpoint, my opinion, I don't think that deal gets it done.
No,
I would love that too.
I don't think so either.
I just don't think he gets it done. I think you're gonna see a number. And you're not going to be happy with that number, but it's going to be the number that is required to sign him for a couple of years. And I think the number is going to be like from a year's perspective, you're going to be looking at 4 years is probably what they're going to sign him for. And that number is going to, that number is going to be well above a three. I think that's what it's going to take to do this.
I'm not going to say well above. I think what makes it happen, if it is 4 years, if it's a 4 year deal, it's going to be at around 3.2, 3.25, 3.15, somewhere in that.
If it's a low three, I think it's actually a bit of a win, because I can see him saying, you know what, you can't carry three of us. Primo's not the answer. You can't go and trade for a goalie. I'm all you got. I'm young enough. I'm good enough. And you're not vying for a Stanley Cup right now.
It's gonna, the only way that looks fine, even at 3.1 or 3.2 million, is it all depends if Allen is the one that's moving, which in all likelihood it would be at that point.
Yeah,
is if there's salary retention. If they move Allen with no salary retention, and now all of a sudden you're looking at Monty at 3.25 million, 3.2, whatever it is, and Primo at a mil, then you're saying, okay, this is, you got two goalies for 4 million rather than having three goalies for almost six or and a half or whatever it is.
I'm gonna
focus on that. That's important to me.
But let's dispel that for a second. There's no way they finish the year with three goalies on the roster, right?
You would think not. You never know. They're not gonna lose them either. They're not gonna lose a single goalie for nothing.
Can we say this then? If the Montreal Canadiens finish this season with the same three goalies on the roster, it's a fail from management?
In that position, yes.
Yeah. I mean, it is a fail in the sense that they didn't solve their problem and they rode three goals. Like, but at the end of the day, it's a fail more in the development of Kane Primo than anything. That would be my opinion, because most likely if you end with those three, it means Kane Primo played about like seven games or eight games of this year or something, which is not enough. He needs to play 40 or 50. So to me, that would be a fail. Is it the end of the world fail? Like, is it a failure that I'm going to judge Ken Hughes and Jeff Gordon on and Marty St. Louis on? No, but it's not ideal. It's not ideal. It never has been.
Also, it depends. Like, I would look at it. I would look at it on another front too. If all three goalies, let's say Monty is available even, and Allen is available, which one gets you the better return? That's the one you move.
I don't think the return is going to be good on either end.
Well, no, it won't be good because goalies are not valuable across the NHL, but you still have to look and say which one's going to net you the best return out of the three goalies.
Montembeau, I have to think, would net you the greatest return.
But how much?
Not that much more than Allen. I just think you got him. You can take him for now. You don't necessarily have to re-sign him. His numbers are digestible better than Allen's. Allen has extra term to him. Allen is more seasoned and veteran, of course. But if you look at the numbers now, I think that they're fairly comparable. So yeah, I would imagine Montembeau would get you whatever it is a little more than Allen would.
Yeah. But I mean, is it worth it? You know,
and probably not. Probably not. And I think honestly, the Canadians, from what we're hearing, they want Montembeau to stay. It is Allen that's shopped. It is Allen that they want to have the other teams come and say, "We need a goalie. You guys have too many. We'll take your veteran guy. We'll make a deal. We got to work some money out here, but that's the guy. Let's go." I mean, it's the only thing that makes sense, in my opinion. So, to be seen. To be seen. It is curious. There is rumblings that are out there. So maybe something will happen sooner rather than later. And exactly to Dave's point, this can't persist forever because the teams that need a goalie need to get a goalie soon. Otherwise, they start finding themselves far too behind to catch up, and then playoff hopes are dashed. And then what was the point of doing it? So something to look forward to. And I think we're all going to keep an eye on that certain situation as it continues. The last thing I kind of wanted to talk about, and again, this is just because it's so polarizing here when you talk about this guy. Slafkovský, obviously, stat line-wise, again, like we talked last time, didn't really improve on that stat line in terms of points. However, you look at his game, specifically the last game against Vancouver. That was probably one of his best games. Eye test-wise, watching just the player, isolated just on the player, I think he did. I have the numbers here. He had 11 attempts, 7 shots on goal. He had a couple that he fanned on. He was engaged. He was right there. Again, it's like an Anderson situation. It just seems like he's snake bitten and just can't finish. But that said, how would you guys feel about shaking up the lineup somewhat drastically. I know they're having some success and the games are very competitive. So to change up the lineup just to get one guy going, I'm sure is not what the team's going to do. But have we seen Slaff on the top line, the original top line with Cole and Suzuki yet this season? Is that something that they should go back and try to do?
We saw it briefly.
Briefly? So should they ride that for 2-3 games and see if that's the key? Or does Monahan finally get away from that line and you use Monahan as the center with Slafkovský on the wing? And that sort of magic happens. And then add your winger on the other side. Is this something that's worth doing? Or stay the course? He's bound to net goals eventually. He's bound to get points eventually with the style and the game that he's been putting out there on the ice. What would you do?
Go ahead.
You both have something to say about this.
Okay, I just find it's funny because I find he's actually been playing better. And I think it's no coincidence that it's because Christian Dvorak came back. And, you know, as much as we
poo-poo on maybe, Dvorak.
Yeah, exactly. He's not our favorite player. He's a guy who is a center, right? And like Newhook, I think he's better suited on the wing. I don't think as soon as Stock went down, you had Newhook kind of forced into a position he didn't want to be in, and Slafkovský's game kind of went meh, you know. And I think that he looked a lot more common, especially in that game last night. Was it last night, Vancouver?
It was last night, Vancouver.
The game against Vancouver, I find that he was much more, he had a lot more shots, a lot more, he seemed a lot more comfortable and confident. And it's just a lot different Slafkovský than we saw like maybe just a couple of games ago. So as much as Christian Dvorak's not that much of an impactful player, I think he did have an impact. And I think that's why I like maybe the Monahan suggestion is good too. You play him with a guy who can play center and properly frame him with players that are not struggling as well. And I think that would be the key going forward. But I'm willing to give this line a shot with Dvorak as a center. I think let it go and let's see if he could rack up some points or goals.
Dave is 100% right. It's the fact that he's playing with somebody like Dvorak, who's a center, he's responsible and all that. But eye test, advanced analytics, all of it suggests that Slafkovský is a better player than he was last year for sure. Is progressing. He's doing a lot of the right things. The one flaw to his game right now, real flaw that needs to be worked, is the fact that he's in front of the net at times and the confidence is not there to take that shot. He's still thinking of making that pass because there's some times where if you would just take that shot, and he's got a strong one. His release is not the quickest in the world just yet, but he's got a strong shot that if he would just let it go, he probably would have a few more goals right now. But everything from even his back checking, there's some plays that were shown on Twitter. Some people captured little details of his game that were quite impressive. And you're thinking, are you starting to use his body more? This is the one thing that we wanted to see with a big guy like him at the age of 19, is learning how to efficiently use that body of his. And he's starting. You see those glimpses. And now he just has to continue doing that. And I think I would like to see him with Monahan. I think Monahan would actually be fantastic for him. But it's hard to break the Monahan-Galli line because even Galli is getting going, and it's the first time we've been seeing Galli like this in years. And while I don't want to...
You just want him to hit 30 goals so that you don't look like a fool. I know. I know where you're coming from.
Listen. That's somewhere in the back. I want to be able to say, there you go, guys. It happened. But listen, I feel bad... We all felt bad for Galli because you know that the guy, the heart was there, but it's like his body just couldn't do it. And now you're seeing old glimpses of the old Gallagher back, and keep it going. Like, why would you want to break that apart? And at the same time, Tanner Pearson is doing well too. And we all know he's likely a trade chip for a trade deadline. So we're still in a rebuild. You know, this is, at the end of the day, those are assets that you want to work on moving at the trade deadline. And you want to keep their value up as much as possible. I mean, not at the detriment of Slafkovský's development, but at least he's got somebody like Dvorak, and he's not having somebody like Newhook as a center, because Newhook as a center was not working out. It was just not working out for the Montreal Canadiens nor for Slafkovský.
I know common sense would say, keep well enough alone. You got a line that's really rolling on that third line when you really had low expectations. I think most people did. I know that he is playing very well, and it's just a matter of time. So you could say, leave it riding the way it is, and good things should come. But I'm a little bit of an agent of chaos myself, personally, when it comes to these kinds of things. And I don't look at it as breaking up a line, and then that's it. The chemistry is broken forever. There is no harm in mixing up the lines for a game, a two, three games, and then putting it back if it doesn't work. It's not like if you took Monahan away from Pearson and Gallagher, suddenly they just all won't be able to play hockey anymore. I would like to see it. I want to see Monahan with Cole and Slaff on the side. I want to see that line.
Look, the season's very long.
He has the highest face-off wins. You're going to be more in possession of offense when he's on as your center. You got two dynamos that are on the side that can go. Why not give it a go? Dvorak is a capable centerman. He can replace Monahan on that line. Is he Monahan? Of course not. But I don't think you're going to really now all of a sudden put cement shoes on that line and that's it. Everybody can't play. Give it
the
a try.
The season is very long. The season's very long, okay? And right now, until they start going really cold, you leave that line as is.
But why wait until it's getting cold? Like, what are we doing here? We're scared they're going to stop winning games or something. We're scared it's going to dash the playoff dreams. What are we doing? I thought you're the head guy who's telling me this is a rebuild. This is only year two of the rebuild.
Yeah, but so my thinking,
up,
my,
baby. Yes, what's the problem?
My thinking behind it has the rebuild there. It has the rebuild in regards to the trade deadline. And keep that line going because you don't know what happens at the trade deadline. If a line like that, with all those vets that are on it, with what they can go for, I come the trade deadline.
So let me just understand this for a second.
And then they start sinking.
Hold on a second.
All right.
Let me understand.
I have to wait for you. Now I know.
I'm a bad person. Okay. Let me just understand if I can see where you're going with this. Are you telling me you weigh the possibility of making your Tanner Pearson's and Sean Monahan's look better for potential trades at the trade deadline for more picks or whatever versus possibly elevating the game of your first overall pick that's going to be on your team for probably years to come?
I'm eliminating the potential crutch. That is, if it succeeds with Monahan and Slafkovský, then I don't want Slafkovský to always be dependent on a Monahan-like player. Let Monahan develop.
You mean to be dependent on a good centerman?
Let him, but he's doing fine. Let him develop. Let him flourish. He's got time on his side. He's 19 years old. Let him figure out his game. It's fine. Obviously, there's some Habs fans that they want it instantly. They want him to be the player.
Give him the best chance of success. Like, there's only so long that people can bang the drum and say he's looking good out there. It's gonna come. Maybe he simply needs slightly a better.
Do you honestly think? Do you honestly think that if Monahan, Gallagher, and Pearson weren't doing as well as they are right now, that Monahan wouldn't be his center right now? He would be, especially with Doc being out.
But it's precisely that reason.
But
they're all doing so well. Why not try it out and then just go back to it? It's such a nice thing to have in your back pocket.
Why? I'm not saying not to try it out. I'm not saying
it sounds
that.
Sounds like
right
you're saying not to try it out.
I'm saying wait. I'm saying I said it before. Wait for things to cool off with that line a little bit before you start coming out with the Terrier blender or the Julien blender.
I'm not saying put Jake Evans as your 1C. I'm not saying bring back Armia and throw him on the top line and blend everything up. I'm saying you have a line that's cooking. They're all playing really well. They all got confidence. Why not use them while they're at a high to elevate your young guys instead of waiting for them to cool off?
It doesn't take much for a player to lose confidence. It doesn't take much. It takes one game on a bad line and a couple of bad shifts, and all of a sudden they start tightening their stick a little bit.
Who loses confidence faster, my friend? Who loses confidence faster?
Pros.
The veterans that have been in the league for 10-plus years, or the 19-year-old who's struggling to get a point and knows that everybody in the city is waiting for him to knock a goal?
Forget the city. The coaching staff are all talking to them, telling them, don't worry about it. Play your game. Keep doing what you're doing. You're 19 years old. It's fine. It's a rebuild.
It's fine.
It's a rebuild. Maddie, I'm with you. You got to change some things around, man. It's not like as if they're world beaters and, oh, my God, this line put up 9 points of like Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. Like, they're doing okay. They're doing good.
Sean Monahan is almost a point a game.
Almost a point a game is not like, let's freeze this roster. Like,
for a guy who was done, his career was over, it's almost a point a game. And I mean, look, even
15 games, like, it's just like, to me,
just
it's like,
do it.
Just, yeah, I think like it's a little bit silly to just like, like, in the terms of the Montreal Canadiens and your expectations with the Montreal Canadiens, fine, this line is doing well. I don't think it's other teams around the NHL are being like, my God, are you, have you checked out that Monahan Gallagher Pearson line? I don't think other teams' TikToks or fans on TikTok are like, well, man, you know, I really wish we had a Gallagher Monahan Pearson line.
Maybe at game 15, you're saying this, but at game 50, if they're still producing at this rate, then you're going to be looking, hey, you know what? Monahan's a 70 plus point player this year, and he's 30 plus goals.
Okay. Hold on a second. Jump into 70 plus points for Monahan. Hold on a second. All right, let's live in the real world.
The agent of chaos.
Yeah, okay. All of a sudden, this guy coming out throwing bombs out here. The point is, what Dave just said is the most accurate thing, and that's the fun fact with fans. They look at something and they see it going well, and all of a sudden, it's the greatest. The fact remains, we're all so pleased with this line because the expectations could not be any lower than they were. We were making fun of the geriatric line at the beginning of the season. We said, how are these guys going to play collectively? They have more years of missed games played than some of the guys on the team have actual NHL experience. Like, that's what we were talking about. The fact that they're clipping the way they are, that's just a testament to, okay, let's put these guys while they're hot with other teams, with other lines rather, and spark something. And the biggest spark plug there is Sean Monahan. Put him with Slav, who simply is missing one little thing, whatever that is, right? The finish. Maybe if he had Monahan there, who knows? Maybe you have a couple goals in, and then suddenly you start building on that confidence. Because there's one thing for a coach to constantly tell you, play your game, you're doing well. There's a whole other thing that you come back to the bench, and it's like, I'm on a 4-game point streak. I'm feeling good. I can't see why they don't do it.
Marty St. Louis was asked in a recent presser if he's thought of it, and he admitted, he goes, yeah, they did think about breaking that lineup, then, you know, putting Monahan with Slafkovský and all that. These are thoughts, these are discussions that they've had, but it hasn't happened yet. Is it never going to happen? It's going to happen, just not right now. They're gelling. They're on fire. These veterans. Let them go. Let them feel good about themselves for as long as they can.
All right.
There's a lot of ebbs and flows throughout a season. There's a lot of ebbs and flows throughout a season. There's a lot of players that spike up and go down. I mean, look, even Cole Caulfield right now. There's people that are poo-pooing on him right now, even though he's you know, our point leader. But 5-on-5, it's rough.
Yes, why not mix it? That's my point. My point is very simple. As the last little bit here is simply to say, I've never been a huge fan of waiting until something is like ice cold and then mixing it up. That doesn't just all of a sudden spark a flame. I like to see a flame going and then use that flame to light other flames. That's kind of where I'm at. I see a line that is producing well above what they're expected to do. I see a guy who is well poised, and we saw what he was capable of doing on other lines last season. He is not hurt this season. You have a guy in Slafkovský who, with the right center and the right situation, might be poised for a very nice breakout. Why not do it? Because you're leaving Monahan to make Gallagher and Pearson better. I mean, at one point we were talking about Pearson not even being in the lineup to start the season. It's nice what he's doing. We like what they're doing. I know it goes against standard convention to break up a line that's playing well. But when you could use it and go elsewhere and maybe achieve something even greater at the simple risk of losing a game or two or three in a rebuild year and then just put them back, why not? So I pose this question to the listeners now, those that have made it to the end. Thank you so much for sticking through it. And what would you do? Do you agree with Matt and Dave that perhaps Monahan playing with Slafkovský and maybe Caulfield is something that they should do? They should break up that heater third liner? Or are you more of a stick in the mud like Vito? And nope, you leave it nice until it is ice dead cold, and then you mix it up. I'd like to know what you have to think about that. Please let us know in the comments below.
I like how you spin it that way, the negative for me.
I think it up quite nicely.
No opinions will be made fun of. I assure you, I only make fun of Vito's. And so let us know, please, what you think. Otherwise, as well, what would you do with the goalie situation? If you have a take on that, we'd be happy to read that in the comments as well. So on that, we thank you very much for tuning in. Keep your eyes out on social media for the updates for the next upcoming episodes and things that we're planning on doing. It's going to be exciting. And for Vito and Dave, I'm Matt. And of course, this was
Get Pucked.